Let's back up a little bit and remember where we are and what Revelation is. It is the manifestation of the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is Christ revealing God, the Father, the purpose of God, the election of grace, salvation in His blood alone. That's what this book is. As we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as they all give detail of the finished work of Jesus Christ. The good news, that's what gospel means, of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. Christ had died to save His people from their sins. None added, none taken away. The only way to salvation is in the Lamb of God. Next week, or whenever we get to the next chapter, we're going to see this Lamb of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the power and wisdom of God, who is in our lives daily, as we were told yesterday. And we're going to see Him standing on the Mount Zion, which is the church, with 144,000. Does that bring to mind the 144,000 we talked about way back in chapter 6 that are preserved of God in this world? That's not the only children of God. God has a mass multitude of children as the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore, and we cannot totally number or count any of them. Every time scientists look into the sky, they find another star or another complete universe. That's the finished work of Jesus Christ. But this 144,000 will teach us of the remnant that God sustains in the church, with the true identity of the church that Christ established and ordained when He was here in this low ground of this world. But today we're going to go to the text here. As I said, each gospel gives a different, it's not a different version, it's the same story. But each one reveals something in them that's not in the others. That's the same way in the book of Revelation. In this, we're going to see the enemies of God defeated. We're going to see how they afflict us, how they persecute us, and why we suffer tribulation in this world. Both men yesterday talked about this last year and COVID and our suffering and the things that befall us and the reason why. And of God who will not let us go, who keeps us in His hand, safe and secure, and delivers daily, and He delivers eternally. Now, this is this chapter about Antichrist, we've already talked about it, and about false doctrine and persecution. You pray for me. Chapter 13. This is John. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Okay. I've heard this sand, this sea, mentioned very many ways. I've heard as being a sea of people, and I will gladly accept that, where it's written in this book. We'll get to it again in 17. It plainly says it, they're peoples. I'll gladly accept that in that context. And I'll accept it in this context. the sea of time. And I'll gladly accept that, because John would see this come from people in this world. This is going to be an antichrist. This is going to come from among the men of the world. It's not children of God. These are reprobate that he's talking about would come forth, because he is antichrist. And he comes from the sea of people, natural people, in their sins in this world. And he also stood upon the sea of time, because these things happened in time. They were foreknown of God or in his omniscience before the world was ever created. And God's Son was sent to deliver us. But the point being, I'll take either one of those. Well, let me give you a simple explanation also that comes from my feeble, simple mind. John was on the island of Patmos. It was an island. It had sand and the sea was around it. This is where this revelation of the finished work of Jesus Christ was given unto him. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Many times Satan's called a beast. Many times the wicked are called beasts. We're going to refer back to Daniel 7 and maybe even 8 again today. There are beasts mentioned there that are mentioned here. This beast, what is a beast? It's a great, formidable, fearful, fierce adversary. It's a beast rising up out of the sea. It's coming from the sea of people. It's in the sea of time, having 7 heads and 10 horns. I see no reason why in the last several chapters the Lord would go from the 7 heads being the 7 hills that Rome was upon, and from being the 10 crowns, who were the 10 emperors in the era, of the first century church during the great persecutions upon them, why God would use that everywhere else and change it here. This book is teaching us of our formidable enemy, which is Rome. You go back to Daniel 7, you see the Greeks, the Medes, the Persians, as they persecuted God's people, and you see the king of a dark countenance, Rome, the Roman nation, the Roman emperors, the 10 who persecuted the church of God. This is the same thing. God would not change it in the middle by the context, because it relates to the same exact nation and what came from that nation. Daniel 7, he says there would come one who would think to change times and seasons, would seek to change the truth and the very nature and creation and purpose of God. And by the way, that would be in blasphemy against God. Now John said, I saw, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns. This represents Rome. Some people say this is pagan Rome, this first beast. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, the first beast and the second beast are one beast. They're represented in two. And that brings me to a point before I move any farther. I'm not telling you this and giving you this in order to belittle anyone. If I'm going to belittle someone, it's going to be me, because I'm a worm. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be hateful about other Christians or anything else. I'm telling you about Antichrist, and everything that I'm going to give you is going to be from the inspired, from the Holy Ghost, Scripture that moved upon John, when he penned these words and he saw these visions and gave to you in the church, that you might know who your enemy is and how he works. About 20 years ago, I did a discourse on the devil and his creation and what he was. I'm not up here to preach to you about the devil. I'm up here to preach to you about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has defeated the devil. But we need, as we live in this world, to know our enemies and our tactics. In other words, why did God give us this instruction if it's not to know? He that hath an ear, let him hear, to give us wisdom. So you bear with me, please, because I'm not soft-spoken. I'm very blunt. I don't mean to be hateful. I'm trying to give you plain, simple truth. I know of no other way to do it. So you pray for me. This great beast has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And if that's not the emperor's, I don't know what it could be. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Quick touch on Rome. Household gods. Hundreds of gods. Household gods. National gods. Idolatry. Is that not blasphemy? We can fast forward to the second beast and thinking about papal Rome. That's what this is talking about. Every one of our forefathers relates this to the persecution, not today's Catholic Church, but papal Rome in the dark and in the Middle Ages. History records it and how they persecuted, how they persecuted, how they persecuted. The Waldenses, the Anabaptists, all these that were striving to maintain the true identity of the Church of God in Christ. Now, this beast is Rome. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Let's go back. Well, I'm not. Yeah, maybe I will. Daniel 7. You find there, beginning in verse 3. This is four beasts, and I'm going to make a point with this. Let me be very plain and clear. God help me. There are four beasts here. One was a lion with eagle's wings. One was a bear, like to a bear. One was like to a leopard. And I'm going to use those three right now just to show you these three are the same ones mentioned here. Now, the leopard in Daniel represents the Greeks and the fierceness of Alexander as he came through conquering. And relating to persecution and tribulation in the providence of God, if you study history, you'll see that Alexander did not take and destroy Jerusalem. That is the providence of God in His purpose. As death and defeat was all around them, God preserves His people. He did then, He does today. But that beast in Daniel is referred back to here to show you one nation was a leopard, one nation was a lion, one nation was a bear in their individual strength. Here, this great nation, king, whatever you want to call it, the dark king of dark countenance, this one is more powerful than all of those combined because they're grouped into one beast, one creature. All the wicked powers of darkness they had because God suffered them to have it. And God suffered them to take His sinful people into bondage. Is combined into one in this beast. This beast is old. This beast is still here today's time. Okay? And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. First, I'm going to tell you what John Gill says about the leopard. The leopard has a sweet smell. This deadly animal has a sweet smell. And That smell of the leopard draws the fawns, the young animals, away from their mothers to the leopard who devours them. Now you think about that as you think about how Antichrist in religious so-called, I hate the word religion, it makes pomp and show, true and undefiled religion before God the Father is to visit the widows and fatherless in their afflictions. How he lures them in and then devours them with lies and false doctrines. Think about the landmarks I talked about in Deuteronomy 19. They've been removed. They've been plucked up. How many of you, like I, thought about yesterday? The commandments of God, Deuteronomy, teach these things unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. The things of God. They had the law. How we're to live for God and to God. All these boundaries removed. That's why people are running around now with no hope. They don't have hope in Christ. They haven't been taught of Christ. And all religion has become vain, void, empty, with no hope in Christ. So we can relay this to that day. We can relay every bit of this to this day in which we live. The beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. What is a leopard? He's swift. He is cunning. I'll use the word sneaky. You ever watch a cat? He gets down. He hunkers. You can't see him in the grass. He waits till you come to him, or he very quietly sneaks up on you. Then he devours you. I'm going to be blunt. Okay? You look at an example. You look for example. The freedom we've lost in this republic in my lifetime. How has it come? Gradually, gradually, gradually. Oh, let's take this and let's lie and say it's for the good, the safety of these people, and let's take this away. Taking away freedom, taking away liberty. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about Satan's deception and how we've lost freedom in this country. And don't you ever think they do not seek to take your right to worship. Because they do. But then you wake up one day and it's all gone. That's how they call the leopard sneaky. Brings one into the powers of Satan. Well, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there. Deception. Remember, Satan appears as an angel of light, and his ministers do too. A little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here. And before long, the fawn, the child of God, is deceived and taken away into complete idolatry. Doctrines of the world that justify you by your work, your choice, your faith, your power, whatever the case is, they're false. Your salvation is in one thing, the blood of the Lamb of God. Period. That's how the leopard works. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. When he gets close to you, those claws of the bear that sink in and grab hold and pull you with massive strength and you cannot get away. And then the mouth of a lion, which devours you. The great, fearful, massive teeth with the great power that bites and devours. Now we know Christians were persecuted by pagan Rome. We know they were persecuted by papal Rome. There were many millions put to death. But we also see, and I'm going to tell you this, death to a child of God is a deliverance, the greatest deliverance as we live here. Because he that is dead is freed from sin, we'll see it no more. We're with Christ immediately. But many, many, many are deceived and brought into a spiritual death by being misled or not taught or taught lies or whatever deception. Satan, who walketh about as a roaring lion seeking to devour whom he can, has placed upon them. This beast has a mouth of a lion. He's like a leopard and a bear and the mouth of a lion. Destruction, swift deception, swift moving destruction, grabbing a hold of you and not letting you go. We sing that song, it's 147 in the book we had before this one, Sweet Rivers of Redeeming Love. One of those verses in the old book, the Casey book, says, "My Savior holds me in His arms and will not let me go." Now somebody has changed that to, "I hold my Savior in my arms." I like the fact that He holds me in His arms and will not let me go. Because we're all in the hand of Christ. We're all in the hand of God. But Satan seeks to deceive. This beast, Rome. And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. I remember when Ronald Reagan was shot, way back then in the 80s. Each one of his names has six letters in it. We'll get to 666 at the close of this chapter. But he was shot, and everybody thought he was dead, but he didn't die, he's alive. And they were trying to claim Ronald Reagan was the Antichrist. Don't judge God's word by feeble things. God is the God of all power. Take the book in the context that each individual text is presenting. This beast is as one who was wounded to death. Rome, at the end of the 10 emperors, power was taken from Rome, the nation. It was wounded to death. It died in the sense of what it was under the Caesars of Rome. And the power that it had. Remember going through several chapters ago and seeing how the barbarians came in attacking Rome. They were weakened. It was taken away. They appeared to be dead. And his deadly wound was healed. How was it healed? When the nation of Rome, those 10 emperors, when they were finished and the power was gone from the emperors of Rome to the Pope of Rome. I didn't say the church. A lot of God's people are carried away in heresy. They are God's sons if they are God's sons. They always have been. They always will be. They're not in possession of that sonship. They're not in possession of eternal life until they're born of the Spirit. That may be as John the Baptist when they're in the womb. That may be as the thief on the cross when they're coming to death very rapidly. But God is a God of purpose. There'll be none lost and they'll all be His. But they're not in possession of it. But my point behind that, until they're born of the Spirit, but my intent behind that is there are many of God's people carried away by the hand of Satan into false doctrine. Where does false doctrine come from? Go back to Genesis. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. There's the first appearance of an Antichrist doctrine. The glory is God. Salvation is of the Lord. The creation God created. Every single good thing of God that we have and everything of God is good is God's work. God is the king. God is the governor. God is so great and terrible that sin cannot exist before Him. And I saw one of His heads as it were wounded to death. It appeared Rome was dead, and his deadly wound was healed. Papal Rome came forth. Again, call to history. Dark ages, vain men who murdered millions, who were not God's children, they were reprobate, were empowered of Satan, God suffering it to be so. Why did God suffer this? For His glory. For His glory. That's what everything is about. The glory of God. For mine own purpose. Romans 9. God said to Pharaoh, for mine own purpose, I have raised thee up. That my glory, and I'm not quoting it, but I'll paraphrase it. That my glory might be shown or known and known to all. The world can see, all can see that I suffered you to be raised up, that you have all this power, that you're evil and wicked, and I, God in heaven, have destroyed you. And God is glorified. The wicked shall be turned into hell, period. For the glory of God. Now, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The great papacy, the great men declaring, 2 Thessalonians 2, about verse 4, the man of sin who sits in the temple of God, the church, showing, catch this, himself. Showing who? Himself. Again, himself. That he is God. How does that relate to the era that we're talking about in Papal Rome? The Pope had the power to forgive sins. The Pope had the power to condemn to hell. The Pope had the power to make saints, to exclude. If you read history, you'll see where kings of the earth were removed by the Pope and literally put his feet upon them and made them eat the bones from under the table that he sat at. Unregenerate men. Teaching by the power of Satan. Those who are God's children lie. There was a reason God's people couldn't read the scripture. They alone had the power and the authority, so they deemed, to interpret scripture. This was a dark, dark time. It's not that way anymore, although by deception they're trying to make it that way. By giving you the New Living Way, the New King James, the American Standard, and all these other visions that pervert the Word of God. God gave an English-speaking people in 1611 an English-speaking Bible because God had placed His church among the English. That's what we have here today, and I'll have nothing else. All the world wondered after the beast, the power, the darkness of those days, those ages. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, because what they teach you is to worship the dragon. They teach you to worship the Pope. They teach you to worship mankind. It's blasphemy to pray to Peter to tell the Lord, or pray to Mary. Mary's a sinner. Peter was a sinner. Take the things of the Bible. I'm telling you, Bible. I'm not trying to be hateful. God gave us this that we can know and learn and prosper and have peace in this world. That our God is the only living God. He's always been, He is, and He always will be the great I Am. I am God, the Creator, self-existent, self-sustaining, all power. And we're in His hand. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast. Who are these people? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. You bring me a sack of gold, I'll pray your brother out of purgatory. Blasphemy. You bring me a sack of gold, you can go live in sin and it'll have no effect on you because I said so. Blasphemy. For every sin there's a recompense. Child of God pays for their sins in this world. Blasphemies. The things that were being taught by unregenerate, reprobated men in that day by the Scripture proving this to us. Was given him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Whoop, we've seen that before. Go back to chapter 11. You see the same 42 months of the Gentiles. 11 verse 1, 2, and 3. The Gentiles treading the city of God underfoot with false doctrine, with lies of Antichrist. And in verse 3, the 1,203 score days, guess how many that is? Put them together. That's the very same exact amount of time, 42 months, that God's two witnesses, the ministry, the church, the 144,000, would be kept of God, sustained of God, and would bear witness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for as long as Antichrist is here, for as long as this world remains, God will have a people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're surrounded. Why is this world in chaos? Because the Word of God is not taught in truth, the fullness of the gospel. Started back in the 90s with Clinton, this political correctness thing. Well, you can't call evil evil, it might hurt its feelings. I don't care. It's evil, it's evil. If it's good, it's of God. I'm not in the middle. I'm evil. If I'm on the side of God, then God has brought me here. Everything I have, I owe to God. My own nature is a worm, made of the earth, full of the earth. The blasphemies taught. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. You've got to make a decision. That was made by God and Christ and sealed in the Godhead before the world ever was. You've got to work to Christ. You've got to buy it. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil. Can you see the blasphemy against God in deception and false doctrine? To blaspheme His name. That's exactly what it does. Anything that does not give the full glory to the Son of God and gives any part of our salvation to anyone or anything other than the Son of God, the Godhead itself, is blasphemy. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme His name and His tabernacle, the church, and then to dwell in heaven. Us in the church in that day and all their heavy persecutions, thank God we don't face that anymore. And here this day. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. We can most certainly see the afflictions of the righteous in that day. They would not accept infant baptism. They wanted full immersion, not sprinkling. Two very simple points. There were millions killed for. Killed for. You either agree with papal Rome or you die. We're going to get to buying and selling, the mark of the beast before we leave this chapter. Lord willing, if you do not be obedient to us, your business is going to be closed. You're not going to be able to eat. You're not going to be able to buy. You're not going to be able to sell. Do you not see that happening today? The United States and China, with our current president, is going to do away with money. It's going to all be on a credit card. Well, lo and behold, somehow all of a sudden, my dad's not as stupid as I think he is. I've been called a conspiracy theory for a long time. I've already told you about the computer chips they put in the terrorists after 9/11. 2001. Well, guess what they're wanting to do when they make the whole system? Can we say one world government? Can we say Illuminati? One world system, no money, credit cards. You won't carry a card, it'll be in a chip in your arm. Now that's not the mark of the beast. I'll cover that when I get there, Lord willing. But it's total dominance and control over the children of God, just as was had in that time. You either do it our way, or you starve, or you die. Because that's wickedness, that's evil. Satan hates the Lord. Satan hates the Lord's children. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. We saw a physical war with physical death. But even more so, if I die, I have an expectation, a hope, an earnest expectation to be with the Lord. To a child of God, when we die with the Lord, that's a great deliverance. This part of the war that troubles me the most is the battle I fight daily when I get up in the morning. Sometimes I remember some of the things I've dreamed about, and it's hideous. As Satan comes into our mind, and Satan comes to us and tempts us and tries to cause fear in our heart. 1 John, he says, perfect love hath no fear. When we're obedient to God and have faith to God and walk with God and worship God, our love is made perfect in Him, and we understand it more. It's manifested more. We have no fear. But Satan comes to you and gives you fear. He gives you temptation. He gives you trial. He gives you tribulation. That's the war that I hate so much. Because we deal with it every single day as he walks around seeking whom he may devour. May cause you to doubt one of your loved ones who's gone before. May cause you to turn against your family because Satan attacks the things you want and love the most. And he certainly will cause trouble in the church. It was given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Speaking of that day, many were persecuted over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All of those different nations of people, Gentiles, conquered by Rome. This is recorded in history books. And all that dwell upon the earth, let's understand this. Let's see and realize the power of God, the wisdom of God, the sovereignty of God, and the providence of God in each individual's life, from the least to the greatest, to the poor old unknown beggar, to those that sit in high places, from the poor to the rich, everyone from young to old, God's providence. He, the beasts, and Satan made war with them. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who are they? Those that dwell upon the earth. Those that are of the earth. Those that are in the nature of Adam. Those that are not given to be a child of God because God did not choose them. Because they are left in the nature of Adam. They're in the fallen nature. They have sin and death. Those people are deceived. Those people worship the devil. When you see politicians, brethren, they would remove the name of Christ from this nation. They'll let you use God. You might be talking about Beelzebub being your God, or Dollar Bill being your God, or Dagon being your God. You can have any God you want, little g. You can have gods, plural, little g with an S on the end. But there is but one God. And he's manifested by God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. You can't say Jesus. They hate that name. Bring them Muhammad. Bring them Buddha. Bring them anyone but Jesus Christ. Why is it this way? Because they're reprobate. If they are a child of God, they've not yet been born of the Spirit. And many, if not most of them, will be left in their nature. And Christ upon the resurrection will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Do we expect peace with them? God have mercy, help us. And we've been so dumbed down in this country. In education, you can't teach history anymore. You can't say our fathers took up arms and fought the King of England that they might have freedom to worship and own land. And the second came as the second. They've been so dumbed down in Scripture, Christ has become a beggar standing outside the gate begging you, "Please come to me. Please come to me." The Creator of heaven and earth works His way in the heavens and earth. That's our God. "And they that dwell upon the earth, the natural man, shall worship this beast." Now, I told you before, and I'm going to prove it as we go through this. This, according to history and Scripture, began, well, it was there in the first century church. In the days of the apostles. At the point of time this was written, John was the only apostle left. It had been there. But brother, go back through the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. It was there too. They were led astray. That's why God told them to tear down the altars, tear down the pagan gods and worship and destroy them in the Old Testament, because that's what they're supposed to do. They tore them down with tools. We tear them down with the sword of the Spirit within our hearts. We try to live peaceful lives, not hurting anyone, but living and worshiping our God in heaven who fights for us. They worship Him. Who are they? Those whose names, catch this, are not written in the book of the Lamb, of life, of the Lamb. It's the book of life. Everyone that God chose, everyone that God gave to the Son, everyone the Son died for and raised up for their justification. Everyone Christ came into the world to redeem. Everyone that will be raised up from the grave, reunited with their body. Everyone that will stand with Christ in heaven and immortal glory forever and ever throughout all eternity. Their names are written in that book. And that book is in the hand of God, because you're in the hand of God. Because the Bible said, God said, "I've graven thee, and the palm of my hand." Not just your name, but you. Bottom line, the children of God will not be deceived. Well, you just said many of God's children were deceived. Yes, we're deceived. We're deceived by governments. We're deceived by society. We're deceived by false prophets and devils and antichrist. But you can't be deceived in this way. If you're alive, God has placed Himself within you. You have a knowledge of God in your heart. It may not be refined by worship. You may not be one may not be a disciple. One may not come to church. One may not worship. One may live in a nation which God has hated. And the gospel cannot be preached openly. But if he's born of the Spirit of God, he has the knowledge of God in his heart, he'll never be deceived from that. And he'll stand with Christ in heaven in immortal glory. He may worship in false doctrine. Which brings me to the point of this book. We are here to worship Christ. It is for His glory. Period. It wasn't because God felt sorry for man and wanted to give him an opportunity to be saved. It's for the eternal purpose of God in Jesus Christ and the power of the Godhead that Christ died for those the Father gave Him and raises them up spiritually daily and will raise them all up at the last day, and they will stand with Him in heaven in immortal glory forever and ever and ever. And no COVID, no government, no army, nothing, no devil in hell can stop or change that. Remember, Satan's angry. Remember last week? He's been cast out. He's angry. He went to make war with the remnant of the seed of the woman, the church, who worship God and keep the testimony of God. He hates God. He hates you. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will not wander. You will not be finally deceived. Do you read the Bible and see where? And I'll paraphrase this to be quick. I think when we see the Lord in glory, when He appears, when the Son of Man appears in His glory, Jesus Christ holds in His hand, holds His feet, holding His side, the crucifixion, the death, the Lamb of God. When He appears on His throne in the fullness of His glory, something we cannot bear to stand before while we live in this body of flesh. When He comes the second time into the sky to bring His children home, we will look at Him in awe and a reverential fear of Almighty God. And we'll rejoice. We'll love as we've never loved before. We'll rejoice as we've never rejoiced before. We'll stand in awe as we never have before. But the wicked, they don't know God. They're not given to know God. When Christ appears, they'll want to hide in fear. They'll curse Christ. They'll curse God. They'll curse the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. They'll curse themselves. They'll curse each other. They'll curse everything good and decent. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God has given to you eternal life, and God has given to you the knowledge of Jesus Christ, now let's go, then you'll be with Him. Take comfort in that. Take comfort in that. Because you sit under the sound of the gospel that Christ sends to you. By the Holy Spirit, you're brought into remembrance of the things of God, the work of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the Father through the Son. You've got hope, you've got joy, you've got peace in this world. That's what this book is about. The revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. If any man have an ear, let him hear. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. How do they hear? They're born of God. For unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And to them it's not. How do you hear? You're born of God. God reveals it to you. Some of God's people, He judicially blinds. I used to pray, God help us, deliver us, do this, do that. And then you begin to realize when you study the Scripture and you see what goes on in this world and you walk upon through the wickedness of men, and you understand that some of these things are the judgment of God. If it's God's judgment and will and He's chastening or punishing or showing His glory, Father, Thy will be done. Help me to reconcile myself to Thy will, because You've already reconciled me in Christ to You. If any man have an ear, let him hear. All right, let's catch this. I'm going to go another one, if I can. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. How many times have I heard this? If you go out of doing this and doing that, and it's going to do this and do that and all that stuff. This is, and we could use that for daily living, and I won't say it won't, because every sin has a recompense. But take it in the context of how it's written. Of that day, of the darkness of the Antichrist in religion, in that day, it was started and it's manifested there. It starts to say established. It's been long established before that for the time Satan rebelled. It was manifested in that day. The scripture proves that. But it's here today. Not just there. Not just in what we're reading. Everybody wants to make Revelation over. The preachers does. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things not fulfilled. The resurrection of the dead is not yet come. If this is life eternal, God strike me dead. I do not want to stay in this sin-cursed earth with these dead, senseless, reprobate people and have to endure this forever and ever and ever. The resurrection is not past. It's not over. All things are not fulfilled. What was then carries on now. Satan cannot create. He imitates God. And he uses the same tactics over and over and over and over again. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of saints. He that leadeth into captivity. Those that preach false doctrine. That are reprobate. And teach lies. What Paul say? Wicked men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They preach lies. They teach lies. They fall deeper and deeper and deeper into lie. They fall deeper and deeper and deeper away from God. He that leadeth. This is not a warning to you. This is God's vengeance on them revealed to you. Those that persecute you, I'll persecute them. Those that lead into captivity, I'll lead them into captivity. He that killeth the sword must be killed with the sword. Again, all those, just an evidence of what we've been through in this book. All those of Western Rome who had persecuted the first century church and God's people. God brought in the Huns, the Vandals, and all of those barbaric nations ending up with the Mohammedans, the Islam people, who came in and destroyed them. They killed with the sword, and God raised up a people to kill them with the sword. That's why Jesus said, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He's not talking about don't carry a sword. He told them in Luke, he that hath no sword, let him sell him garment and buy one. He's talking about living by it. If you live in this wicked, evil way as they did, and as they do, then they'll suffer their fall upon their own sword. God will turn their own works upon them. As he's done many a time. Here's the patience. And the faith of the saints. Next week we'll get into the second beast. And they're both one. I'll go ahead and tell you that now. We'll get into the number of a man. And I'll tell you who Polycarp said he was. He was a disciple of John. I'll tell you who Polycarp said the 666 represents. It goes right along with everything the Bible's already given us. What do we get out of this? Over and over and over manifested God's children in this world. This goes right back to yesterday. Both sermons. Christ saved us. We're giving things to do. We don't have a seat of do nothing. We're to love each other. We're to love God. We're to make disciples. We're to live our lives separate from the world. Peacefully. Peacefully. That's hard for me to say. Peacefully. As we can with all men. We're going to suffer persecution. We're going to suffer trial. We're going to suffer tribulation. We're going to suffer temptation. We're going to suffer emotion. We're going to suffer hatred. All the things that Satan can throw at us. But God delivers daily. And God avenges.